appreciate all of our visitors this morning. It just so warms our heart that you would come and worship with us this morning. Thank you. And we'd like to ask Elder Paul Evans, if he would, to share the time with us this morning. So Brother Paul is no stranger here, pastor at the Little Vine Church in Dothan. And we're just happy to have him share the time this morning. Come ahead, Brother Paul.
Appreciate the humble prayer our brother offered this morning, but also appreciate the songs of praise. We have a lot to be rejoiceful for. You think about how people get enthusiastic about a ball game. Imagine the cheers going out in the stands and how loud it can get. But a little ball game victory is minuscule to the glorious thing Jesus Christ did for his people on the cross. And how unemphatic God's people can be to give him that kind of cheer and rejoicing. But see, our flesh kind of overwhelms us sometimes, that we put our minds focused on some of the cares of this life. But let's take time at this time of worship to sweep away those things from our minds and really focus on the very important things. Very important things. The Apostle Paul writes in the 12th chapter of Romans, and I know you all have probably read it, have heard it, have had it preached on. That message doesn't get old to me. You can talk about anything in the scripture over and over. It doesn't age. It doesn't get unpopular. It stays its freshness to each time we read it, and each time we study it, to each time we hear the word of God spoken. If you look at it closely, this is really a commandment. Now, when you look at the presentation of it in verse 1, and I'm going to read the chapters here, the verses here in this chapter, just to bring the thought what the Word of God says. But it begins in verse 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, if you look at it, you might think the writer is pleading you or begging you to do something here. But if you look at the word beseech, it's an old English word, but it's used many times as a verb. And many times you can say it might mean to plead a case or to beg or to entreat. But I believe in this definition, beseech is from the original language. It means to call upon. It means to call to action. It doesn't mean I'm begging you, brothers and sisters, to do something here. The scripture is saying here, I'm calling upon you, brethren. And I believe the brethren are the people of God, and I believe we show evidence of it by a believer. So it takes a believer to call to action. If you don't believe it, then there's no reason to adhere to this message. You have to believe so you can act. Just like in your mind, and you think, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And sometimes we think in a worldly sense, but that's what you exhibit, a worldly person. But if you think in a spiritual sense, you exhibit the attributes and the graces of God. So we give out our light, the light that God gives us, to let it shine so that others may see and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the writer here, it's not his determination to call upon you and call upon believers. He is called upon by the mercies of God. See, God is the one who is calling upon us, brethren, fellow believers, into action. And if you don't understand fully what our responsibilities are, because God has made us his children, and being though that he has made us children, he has enabled us by faith to believe in him, to understand that God exists, then therefore if we have an understanding in our heart and in our mind that God is real, then that most certainly we are become a believer, then it's called upon his children to act upon something. I read an article the other day, sitting at home, because I'm on vacation, but about a certain individual in Dothan, a wealthy businessman, paying Jewish families to move to Dothan so that their congregation in Dothan can be built up. And I thought in my mind, if I had enough gumption in my bank account to spread the word out in all the country to say, hey, I'll give you some money to move to Dothan so that we can build up our congregation in Dothan. And they said that they had a stable congregation level of 100 members, but yet those people coming from different areas of the country are not feeling comfortable. They're moving back. Because one woman in particular says that she works at the hospital and she finds that there's so many Christians that are in this area. There's not so many of the people of the Jewish faith. And it's making the woman feel so uncomfortable that she's being discriminated against. Well, I tell you what, if she, just like the apostles were, when Jesus said unto them in John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. He's speaking unto the Jewish people. You believe in God, believe also in me. And I that's what the call upon here is, not only to fellow believers and who believe that Jesus is the Lord. I'm talking to those that believe that God is. And this is a call upon all those that I believe give evidence that they're God's children. So here's a calling unto you. And not by the Apostle Paul begging you, but it's by the mercies of God. God is calling upon us to act in this manner. And we're going to see which manner we're going to walk in. When we called to worship this morning, we came to worship. God has called us from nature to grace. We responded by the voice of the living God. At one time in our life, we were dead in trespasses and sins. And we read over there in John chapter 5, it says the hour is come and now is, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And we know the evidence of the fact that we're not dead, because we have heard and we live. And that calling is by the evidence of the regeneration of our bodies, our spirits, into a new creature in Christ. So we have become new. We've been quickened by the voice of God. God spoke all this world into existence. We read that over there in many places in the scripture. We know from Genesis chapter 1 that by his own word he spoke this world into existence. And by faith we believe that.
I don't believe there's a single person in this world that's really a true believer that believes in God or believes in a higher power knows that it didn't happen by accident. So the Apostle Paul is saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. In other words, he's saying God is calling upon us to act. And what he's to do, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And that's what I just said this morning about sometimes our flesh gets control of our mind and our heart and our bodies. We begin to react in a way that's not pleasing unto God. But I know that one thing for certain is that we can sacrifice this body. We can put this body into subjection. We can mortify our members. And we know that it's by the power of God that works within our hearts and within our minds, we are able to do so. In the world, if we were left undone in the world and dead in trespasses and sin, there's no way we had no power to put our bodies in subjection. We were submitting ourselves according to the will of the flesh. But the Bible says that God has made us willing in the day of his power. So we have a will to serve God. For it is God that worketh in us both to will and do of his good pleasure. We're to work it out with fear and trembling. We're to make manifest. We're to work out what God's worked in. So we know that we can make ourselves a living sacrifice. And Jesus even told his disciples there. He said, take up your cross and follow me. And the cross is self-denying. Denying oneself. And you take up your cross, you're making evidently a show you're following Jesus by denying yourself. A dear brother came home to the church 3 weeks ago at Little Vine, asked for a home to be baptized, and I thought he was already a member. Find out that his father-in-law is a pastor over at Cat Creek Church over in Valdosta. Began to know the family over the years. But I saw evidence in this young brother's heart as he drew to the throne of mercy. And he made a public show by not becoming a child of God like the world teaches you. But he showed evidence he was a child of God. And he was willing to forsake the cares of this life and take up his cross and follow the Lord in baptism. And he did. That water was cold. That hadn't been the first time I baptized anybody in December. I baptized folks in January and February. One place over at Bethel Church, Brother Glenn Williams' sister Dora was baptized over there in the lunchroom of Bethel Church over in Barber County, and boy, that was cold. And I was sick the next day. But the Lord's will was done. And we both were rejoicing at a dear sister coming home. Doesn't matter how old you are, it's just that you came. You came. Present your body as a living sacrifice. That's God's call to us. So that our bodies are a living sacrifice, but holy, acceptable unto God. We have to make ourselves acceptable unto God. Well, you know, do we have to accept him? No. He has made us accepted in the blood, accepted in his love by the blood offering of Christ. God accepted on our behalf the blood of Christ. And we've been made accepted in the blood. But we must make ourselves acceptable to him. Holy and acceptable. The Bible speaks it. It says plainly, to be ye holy. And this is the Lord's word, for I am holy.
That's right.
That ought to be our responsibility. This is God's call to his children. By the mercies of God, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Holy is to mean that we put away any thoughts of sin and any thoughts of any cares of this life, but focus mainly on the Lord Jesus Christ. You read over there in the 12th chapter of Hebrews that we're to lay aside every weight. There's a lot of burdens that we carry, concerns, problems, heartaches, things that weigh upon our mind, anxieties. Lay them aside, and the sin that does so be easily beset us. We can't run when we're burdened down. and then run this race with patience. And who are we looking unto? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where we're our goal in life, in this life. Our goal in this life. Our home is in heaven, and it's most certainly sure it's going to be in heaven, not based on what we've done in this time world, but in this time world is based upon our joy and service to God is what we do with it. The brother had made mention, did you redeem the time? Time is a very limited quality and quantity and gift to us. If we waste it, then it didn't do us any good. But if we use it, like the brother made mention, redeeming, making it of some use, then we bring joy to us in doing so. Time is very precious. God doesn't need time. God's eternal. But we're time creatures. And time is just as much precious to us. And as we get older in this life, we seem to have more tenacity to look at time in a more precious way, because time slips away much faster. If you ever noticed an hourglass, by example, if you pay attention closely to an hourglass when it's full, you just think, it's going to take forever for that sand to get out of the top of that hourglass to the bottom. But just wait, come back several hours later and then take a look at that hourglass, and then you begin to say, whew, it's going to be gone fast, because time is limited. Time is limited. Let's use that time to the glory of God. That's our reasonable service. It's easy. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's easier for a child of God to serve the Lord Jesus Christ than to be burdened down in the cares and concerns of this life and in your mind thinking that you've got to do something to please God to get you a home in heaven. Amen. You want to be burdened down with that kind of burden? When you think you've got to do a lot of good things in this life so that the Lord will be pleased with you when he calls you up and says, well done, my faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom which God has prepared for them. Well, I tell you, the only condition that you've been in is that you've been made a sheep. You're his sheep. And regardless of what you do in this life, you don't realize that there's times in your life that you serve the Lord unknowingly. You serve the Lord unknowingly. Reread that chapter one more time in Matthew. It begins to dawn on me that there's a lot more God's children in this world than we see in the houses of worship. Because there's many that wondered, when did we see thee hungry and we fed thee? And when did we see thee naked and we clothed thee? When did we see thee in prison and we visited thee? And Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done unto the least of these, my brethren, he called them brethren, you've done it unto me. The Lord has brethren. That's his household. That's his family. That's why he says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable, because God made it us able. But then it says, when you have the word and, it means including that. You don't leave it off. It's not an or, it's and. That means he's not done. And be not conformed to this world. The properties of nature are this. If anything that is fluid can make itself conform to anything that it may contain. For example, this bottle of water is conformed to this bottle. if we put our flesh in this world, we can be conformed to it. Our flesh is fluid to the point that it can be conformed. It could be conformed in the image of the water's not the bottle, but it bears the image of the bottle. So we understand that the water is conformed to this bottle so as much as we can be conformed to this world. Be not. That's the commandment. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Now, transform is a change of state of anything. A transformation. There is no longer fluid. It is fixed in its state. Now, I work on electrical things, and I'm an electrician by trade, and I understand that when you ride down the road and you see these 14 kV lines down the road, how does that get in your house as a 220 or 120, a transformer? So it transforms it down to a usable current. Nikola Tesla is a pretty brilliant man to come up with that idea. But you have a coil, and an iron core. But whatever one side of the coil does, it changes its state on the other side. So transformation is a change. But we are spiritual. And spiritual people who have the Spirit of God can transform themselves from a natural state to a spiritual state through their mind. See, Paul wrote one place in Romans that it said, with the law, with my mind, I can serve the Lord. With my mind. Your mind has an extreme amount of power. Because you were spiritually minded, we have the mind of Christ. Being born of the Spirit of God, we have things that we're spiritually discerned. We can transform our thoughts from something that's conformable to a spiritual world that is transformable. And our minds can expand even though we only see in part. But we understand through the Scripture and through the leadership of the Holy Ghost that teaches us all things, we can follow the footsteps of Jesus. And in your mind, you can put yourselves in that state of that changed state to follow the Lord spiritually. And when your mind controls all your heart's desire is for the Lord, what do these do? They can only follow suit, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind has a great amount of power over what this flesh does. If this flesh can be conformed, you can freeze your flesh into be a solid that cannot be conformed to the world. That's what it means to mortify your members. Put them in your flesh in a state of following after the Lord instead of being conformed to it, to the world. And this is how we prove, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. We're not trying to find out the will of God. We're following the leadership of the Spirit of God through His Holy Scriptures that we might prove His will. And what does it mean to prove something? Show evidence of it. Show evidence of it. If you've ever been in a court of law
The burden of proof is based upon somebody's ability to prove somebody guilty. The burden of proof is laid upon the prosecutor to prove somebody guilty. And what he does to prove that, he has evidence to prove it. So proving makes manifest the evidence of God. We understand faith, by definition in the scripture, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We prove God lives within our hearts as we transform our mind. Are we not to let our light so shine before others that men could see and glorify your Father which is in heaven, making manifest the things of God is our actions that we're called upon. King Solomon wrote it so plainly in the Ecclesiastes letter. The whole duty of man is to serve the Lord and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Serve God and keep his commandments. If we don't, we're incomplete. May we be complete toward the end of the year and into the next year. Time is just a quantity of some kind of dimension that God gives us as long as we're here. And when we're gone, there's no need for time. Time, we're not in the time world. We're in the heavens world. But while we have time, may we consider how we handle it. I thank you for your kind word and teaching. May God bless you, is my prayer.
Amen, Brother Paul. Amen.
Appreciate you.